Hey, how's it going, everyone? You're listening to the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Today's episode is Listener Show and Tell. Very exciting.
Yeah, really cool. This is the first episode where the entire playlist of music are all things that both Carl and I didn't pick.
Right, yeah. So this is your guys' music. This is kind of a thank you to you guys for all your support, for sticking with us on this podcast. We couldn't do this without you guys, so this is a fun episode. This is music consisting of tracks that you guys picked. So these are tracks that you guys left comments and emailed us and chose a lot of really cool stuff that some of it we've never heard before. Some of it we were not aware of. So some pretty cool stuff here.
So I, for one, am really excited about this, you know?
Me too.
A lot of this is not really up my alley, so to speak. So it's going to be really interesting listening to this. And I hope it's cool for you guys to get a kick out of hearing the music that you picked on today's episode.
Yeah, so. And just to hear, you know, what we think about some of your favorite video game music. So this is going to be really cool. Most of this music we've actually haven't heard yet. So this is going to be a nice kind of clean slate. Some of this we've heard. We had to kind of listen to some of it to try to pick a track of the week, which was hard. But yeah, for a lot of this is going to be kind of a new listening experience, so that'll be kind of fun for us. We're going to start things off with a pick that was given to us by Andrew. This is from a game, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, obviously for the Game Boy Advance. And this track is called Gathering Allies. This is composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto and Nobu Uematsu. And I remember Andrew saying that this track played so many times in the game that it was permanently etched in his memory. So let's take a listen to Gathering Allies. Listening to Gathering Allies from Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto and Nobu Uematsu. Thanks, Andrew, for your suggestion on this track. This is a really cool track. The main section of it kind of has a nice rousing march, kind of almost a military feel to it, almost like a Civil War era flute that you're hearing there, but really interesting harmonies on those square channels.
Yeah, it's very fanfare-esque. It reminds me a little bit of some music that could be in like the Legend of Zelda series.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's very interesting harmonies that are occurring. Carl's very right in that it has that march feel, but harmonically, it's a little bit more interesting, and there's some sort of extended chords that definitely feel very unique to Final Fantasy.
What I like about those square channels is they're very open intervals and harmonies are a lot of fifths and fourths. But how about the use of that sample channel on the GBA? Pretty advanced sounds for the GBA. Like that flute sounds very authentic.
Yeah, another thing that I really like about this one is that all the sort of melodic ideas sort of build on top of that same sort of march feel. And I really like how this whole piece sort of feels like it's slowly building up to something.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, no, it's really cool. Just so you guys know, I would say most of the tracks today we've actually not heard before. So this is kind of our first impressions of this music. So it's kind of exciting for us. Let's move on to a pick by Carlos. And this is from a game that we have not heard of before. This is called Mamoru Has Been Cursed. And the track that he picked is called Bless You Boy. And this soundtrack was composed by Yasuki Yasui. Let's take a listen to Bless You Boy. Very nice stuff. This is Bless You Boy from the game Mamoru Has Been Cursed, composed by Yasuki Yasui. This is such a cool track. This is a nice surprise. Thanks, Carlos, for that pick.
Yeah, it's very Genesis inspired, both in like the sound of the bass, the sort of general energy of the composition, and the way that all the moving parts are composed together. It really reminds me of Genesis. Also, some of those jazzier chords get pretty darn dissonant for how catchy that melody is.
It's incredibly catchy. It's really interesting to hear that combination of sounds, because there are a lot of instruments that are very FM-ish, but there's also more modern, metallic, really nice kind of quality fidelity instruments too. So it's nice to hear that combination. But the composition of this piece, I was actually really impressed with the melodic material. It's very jazzy and soloistic, but it feels intentional. It doesn't just feel like he's just having a solo on the keyboard. You know, the chords, the way that the melodies work with the chords is actually pretty thought out, you know. I get the feeling that this is a Japanese game. Something about it tells me that it is. But yeah, that's a very playful, tuneful piece of music there. Cool. We're going to move on to a pick by Ed. And this is really cool. Ed gave us a couple picks from arcade soundtracks, so arcade versions of games. This is a game that I've never heard of before. It's called SDI, which stands for Strategic Defense Initiative, which is an arcade game that I believe was made by Sega, and it was composed by Katsuhiro Hayashi, and we're going to play a track called Illusion Stage 6 and 7, arcade version. Here we go. Very interesting. That is from the game SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, arcade version. The track is called Illusion Stage 6 and 7, composed by Katsuhiro Hayashi. Very interesting. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of complicated moving parts in this one. In general, the form is quite interesting. The chords definitely never really go where I'm expecting, and there's a certain point, there's actually 2 points in this where rhythmically it's sort of you're a little bit lost,
right,
because the whole feel of everything changes. There's almost like a meter change, but it's
yeah,
incredibly different, you know. It's almost like there's like a short like type of drum fill and then everything picks up.
Yeah, when I first listened to it, it almost gave me the sense that like it was skipping or something, like something, there's like a glitch in the song, but it's actually purposeful. It's pretty wild stuff. I really love the sound of that delay instrument, the lead. There's obviously 2 channels. One is dedicated to delay, and again, it's so fun to hear these arcade soundtracks that feature a very similar Yamaha FM chip to the
right.
Genesis. It's just so great, but it's slightly different, isn't it?
It's definitely a little bit different.
Yeah, some different instruments that are being used here. Slightly different kind of sound of those drum samples too. But yeah, no, this is a really interesting pick that obviously we had not been aware of before, and it's great to have some authentic arcade music here. It's another thing, in the future we're definitely going to have pretty soon here, I think we're going to be doing an Arcade 2 episode. That'll be a lot of fun. We did that in our first season. That was one of our favorites. Cool. We're going to move on to a track that was suggested by Koa. This is from the Genesis game Altered Beast. The track she suggested was Rise From Your Grave, Round 1, and this was composed by Katsuhiko Nagai. Let's take a listen. Well, that was Rise from Your Grave, Round 1 from Altered Beast, and that was given to us by Koa. And she mentioned that she was not very good at this game, but played it a lot as a kid, so this was like one of the only pieces of music she kept hearing because this was the first stage. I think we can all relate to that, you know, back in the day. So this was, I think, a pretty nostalgic piece for her. This is composed by Katsuhiko Nagai. Very rousing start. Again, it has that kind of fanfare start to this piece, but some interesting dissonance throughout.
I like how that general sort of rhythmic idea is kept throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. It's pretty catchy. And what happens in the B section, I'm really quite a big fan of the melody that happens there. And in general, there's a lot of sort of triplet kind of feels going on here. And in general, like the timbre of the instruments with that triplet thing actually reminded me of Prince of Persia, that dun
da 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 dun dun. Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, I've only played a few minutes of this game, but I think for a lot of people it's really, really classic. This may have been a pack-in game for the original Genesis. I think this came out in 89. I think it may have come with some of the first Genesis systems, if I'm not mistaken. I think I have a memory of that, but yeah, this is a really classic Genesis game, and obviously we did not feature this soundtrack on our most recent Genesis episode, so cool we got to feature that today. A lot of modern tracks today. One thing I'll say, this is one of the few kind of older ones, so very cool. We're going to move on to a pick by Phil, and this is from a game called Blue Dragon. It was composed by Nobu Uematsu. I am not too sure about this game, but I'm assuming it's an RPG game. That was released most likely for something like the PS2. I think it's fairly modern. Really nice soundtrack. This was a nice discovery. I had not been familiar with this. I just listened to a little bit of this track, so I look forward to listening to this whole thing. This is Waterside for piano and orchestra. That is Waterside for piano and orchestra from the game Blue Dragon, composed by, of course, Nobu Uematsu. Really nice track. I love how it starts off with piano, and then the lush orchestra comes in, and about 30 seconds ago, there was a really nice cello solo, really beautiful playing on this track.
It's a little bit of, it feels sort of like a medium-sized orchestra. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly a chamber group, but it doesn't feel like a complete full orchestra. You know, the brass section feels particularly small, and the strings feel like sort of medium-sized.
But there's something still very lush about the way that this was recorded.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
full. It definitely
feels
sounding. Sort of like modern orchestral recording, though.
Right.
Very video gamey. You know, it's really very distinct from, like, film music. And I think that's cool, especially in a lot of more recent RPGs that like Uematsu has done. There's a very particular way in which the orchestral instruments are sort of mixed together with everything.
And I wonder if he orchestrated this and arranged this himself, or if someone else did that for him. Kind of curious about that. But I mean, really nice arrangement, really nice part writing. One thing that I think is really cool is that this piece is just dripping with emotion, isn't it? It was nice to hear, because there's not a ton of really high quality emotional orchestral Final Fantasy music, at least that I was familiar with. I mean, so much of it was before the age of when you could, you know, record a real orchestra. So it's nice to hear this kind of music from Uematsu, because I think it really does lend itself well to this type of a soundscape, you know.
Definitely.
Cool. We're going to move on to a suggestion by Lee. This is a track from San Francisco Rush 2049, and the track that he wanted to play was Basie. This was composed by Barry Leitch. Let's take a listen. Listening to the track Basie from San Francisco Rush 49, and I think this is the N64 version, composed by Barry Leitch. Interesting track. I know that Barry Leitch, he did a lot of race music for the N64. We played, I think, Top Gear Rally and Top Gear. I think both of those he did. Really cool techno soundtrack.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I like the sort of eclectic variety of instruments in this track. It's sort of minimal, you know, it's not really kind of over the top with that techno sound. It feels very authentic and very personal. Like, it feels like everything was incredibly intentional and very specific to this soundtrack. It doesn't feel like mailed in.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I literally love those low register synths that were in harmony.
Yeah,
that was really pretty, those chords. But did you hear that really kind of odd rhythmic kind of confusion that was going on with one of the drum samples and the rest of the beat?
I think it was just sort of like a high level of like syncopation. Like, I feel like sometimes you hear that in techno music. They have almost like a strange kind of sound effect, but it's like repeated to the point that it becomes part of the rhythmic drive.
Yeah, it was interesting. I know when I first heard it felt like something was slid off, you know, the grid or something, but yeah, no, the rest of this piece is really composed well. It's a really effective techno race music, isn't it? Barry Leitch, he was really one of the go-to people for that kind of music in this era. I'm pretty sure this also came out for the Dreamcast and most likely the arcade, I would assume. I'm not sure if Barry did all those versions or not, but he did this version. Cool. I got your blood pumping, hopefully. We're going to move on to a track suggested by Theo. This is Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, which I'm not sure if that came out for the PSP or the PS2. I'm not sure. But obviously a sequel entry in the Kingdom Hearts series. We're going to play a track called Dark Impetus, and it was composed by the one and only Yoko Shimomura. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back. Very nice. This is Dark Impetus, suggestion from Theo, from the game Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, composed by Yoko Shimomura. One thing that I really enjoyed about this piece is the main melodic material is kind of like a fugue, in the sense that what she did later on with it is she condensed it rhythmically, still used the same intervals, but changed it so that it works on a larger scale as well as a smaller scale. Very, very interesting. One thing that's so cool is you have that really beautiful classical orchestral sound mixed with modern, very percussion kind of video gamey sounds. Kind of the undercurrent of all this is very modern, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting combination of sounds. You have that actual solo violin, which is by a real performer, an
right.
actual soloist, and then you have those almost intentionally synthesized sort of string samples, and then, like Carl mentioned, you have that sort of techno undercurrent, and it's really nice. The Kingdom Hearts games are really praised for their consistent soundtracks. Yoko Shimomura has done just a fantastic job with these games, and they very much deserve all the credit that they get, because you know, she really is one of those classic game composers, and she retains that good melodic nature throughout her games, but she's also not afraid to sort of change it up and utilize modern technology and the
good
capabilities
point.
Of modern technology to create something to really further the game experience, but not completely abandon the roots in, that
I
made
like
game
that point,
music great.
Because she, the age that she is and how long she's been doing this, it's nice that she's embracing modern technology and kind of the way that game music's heading. She's able to find a nice marriage of old and new, and it's something that I can't really say about a lot of other composers, but one thing that I think she should be praised by just in and of itself is that the number of tracks in each of these Kingdom Hearts games that she has to compose, just hundreds of tracks for all these games. It's just amazing. She really is, I think, the person that you go to if you need like hundreds of tracks for a game and they all need to be really good. Like, she's, her level of output is insane. It's just really impressive. So that's something that is kind of a skill in of itself, is just to compose that much music. It's very impressive. Cool. We're going to play another pick of Carlos. And actually, we wanted to mention that Carlos was the one who actually suggested the idea of us doing this episode. We wanted to thank him once again for that idea. I think this has been a lot of fun so far. This track is from a game, Mighty Milkway, and it was composed by Jake Kaufman. The track he wanted us to play is World One Space. Here it is. Holy smokes, that is a stellar modern chiptune if I've ever heard one in my entire life. That is World One Space from the game Mighty Milky Way, composed by Jake Kaufman. Wow, that blew me away. I kind of wish I would have picked this for track of the week, honestly. This is great. One thing that I loved is the funky bass line. Really nice use of offbeats. Really interesting, and something that I've never heard on the NES before. Again, it's really fun that he's obviously not constricted to any limitations in voices, and he even uses more modern drum sounds. He's able to use that kind of combination of instruments, real crash cymbals, mixed with the classic 8-bit sounds.
The thing I like about it is Jake Kaufman really captures the essence of what makes old video game music great.
Absolutely.
Melodically, and as far as the chord choice, it's very sort of on the nose. And
right.
As opposed to a lot of chiptunes that you hear that are sort of going for those harmonics, it doesn't feel like a parody of it. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like they're just sort of taking the impression that they get from the music.
I'm really
like,
glad you brought that up.
It's really authentic.
What I get the sense in this track, and I'm extrapolating to this composer, is that I get the sense that he has a love for old classic video game music, and he wants to expand upon that and go into new exciting territories that weren't possible before, but he's not crapping on the traditions that were set forth in those games. So this
and in general,
really nice.
It's just a great, great piece, a fantastic melody, and I actually really approve of the fact that he utilized those old school instruments, because I feel like there's definitely a legacy behind
right.
those instruments, and using them, I feel like there's sort of a responsibility nowadays where you can't just throw it out there without really mm-hmm. thinking about it. It needs to really be representative of that kind of music. Otherwise, I think it's used a lot as a gimmick. And in mm-hmm. this case, I was just very impressed with that track. It was absolutely stellar.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Since we didn't listen to all these tracks, it was almost impossible to pick a true track of the week. So maybe take that with a grain of salt this week. It was hard to do that. We're going to move on to another pick of Andrew's. This is from a game, I think this came out for the PC, probably other systems as well, called Pitfall: The Mayan Adventure, a sequel to that really classic Atari game for the 2600, Pitfall, if you remember that game. I'm assuming this is probably quite different. This track is called Bellenkanch Mine, and it was composed by Lee Scott, Robert Higgins, and David Nooper. Let's take a listen. Like we just entered a really extreme episode of Seinfeld. That bass instrument. This is cool. This is Bellenkanch Mine from the game Pitfall: The Mayan Adventure. Pretty cool track. Very interesting meter. If I'm not mistaken, I think this alternated between 6/8 and 7/8. Pretty wild stuff. I like the guitar melodies. Probably my favorite melodic material. This piece is probably what the guitar was playing.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's sort of touching on what I tried to mention a couple weeks ago, is that really one thing that makes video game music so cool is that you can really draw from a variety of instrument sounds and even different genres to create one sort of a flowing piece of music. And because game players are really accustomed to really anything goes as far as like the audio department, mm-hmm. you can really get away with that, and you're sort of free to create the most effective music possible.
Right.
And I sort of get the sense with this. I don't really know too much about the PC version of Pitfall, but I imagine that a lot of these choices that these composers made were very intentional to the visuals and gameplay of this particular adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Really fun piece. And actually the track we're going to move on to is similar as far as kind of an ancient archaeological themed game. We're going to move on to Tomb Raider 3, and this is a pick by Chris, and he said that this is the main theme from Tomb Raider 3. It's probably one of his most nostalgic pieces of video game music. It was composed by Nathan McCree. Let's take a listen. Thank you. This is the main theme from Tomb Raider 3 for the PlayStation, composed by Nathan McCree. What are your thoughts on this piece, Will?
I really like it. It's really fantastic. It really does its job. I especially like when it comes back to the original melody and it introduces those ethnic percussion sounds. That's really great. It's, to me, it's kind of reminiscent of what the Halo theme does a little bit. But yeah, this is really fantastic.
Yeah, this is good. It's a good job of evoking the kind of feel that you're going to get when you play this game. It needs to evoke kind of from another world type of a sound, you know, because it's very ancient, you know, a lot of the kind of the relics and a lot of the ruins that you're going to be traveling in a Tomb Raider game. One thing I just wanted to mention is I've been playing a lot of the most recent Tomb Raider, the reboot. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely excellent. I highly recommend everyone listening to it.
The music's pretty good, too.
Music's good, but the game in itself is just... I'm having a great time with it. Not to say that it's necessarily maybe inventing new things that other games haven't done, but everything it does do, it does really well. So I'm definitely having a good time with that game. Really impressed with the acting as well. Awesome. It's now time to move on to our track of the week. This is a pick from Ed, and this is an arcade version of a game called Area 88. Now, if anyone remembers, that is the alternate title of UN Squadron, which, as you know, is one of our personal favorite SNES soundtracks. This is the arcade version of that soundtrack, which contained some music that never made it into the SNES. And I think we've mentioned before, but it's really cool because this soundtrack was composed by Manami Matsume and Takashi Tateshi. This is the only other soundtrack that I'm aware of that was credited to Takashi Tateshi, who of course did Mega Man 2. So these are two classic Mega Man composers. We're going to play a track called Armory Round 9. This is Armory Round 9, the arcade version of Area 88, composed by Manami Matsume and Takashi Tateshi. And I will say that we probably were a little bit biased when we saw this track. We just were really excited about it. So, yeah, thanks, Ed, for this pick. This is really cool to get to hear the original arcade version of this. This is a track that was not in the Super Nintendo version of UN Squadron.
You can really hear melodic similarities between this and...
Frontline Bass.
Yeah, Frontline Bass especially. Just rhythmically, the motive of that melody.
That part. Yeah, you can tell, like, as a composer, like, when you're in a certain mindset and you're working on a project, a lot of times similar ideas will be kind of dispersed between different tracks. You can kind of hear that here.
Well, and a lot of that is intentional to sort of create a unity, because video games don't really have the luxury of being able to, like, repeat themes and make variations, especially when they're level-based, when you go from level to level, where, like, a film, you know, you can have a theme and harken back on that. Like, John Williams does that a lot. He'll introduce a theme and just completely contort it and distort it and change it up throughout the entire film, so that by the last time you hear it, it feels like you've been with it for so long. Where with video games, each level and stage has its own sort of...
I mean, with more modern games, they're able to do that.
Right.
But with a game from this era, this is crazy that this is the ninth, I'm assuming, mission background music. There seems like a lot of missions that have separate music. That's pretty cool. Think of how many games have only like two or three songs that when you get to mission four, it repeats the song from two, you know? So it's cool that they compose quite a bit of music, and obviously the arcade version is a lot bigger than the SNES version, so... Awesome. We're going to move on to a track that was chosen by my good friend Elliot. This is from Mass Effect, and I believe this track was featured in all three of the games in the Mass Effect trilogy. This track is called Uncharted Worlds, and Elliot said that he really thought that this encapsulated the feeling that you get of space and the vastness of space and planets. This was composed by Jack Wall and Sam Hulick. Let's take a listen to Uncharted Worlds. That was Uncharted Worlds from the Mass Effect trilogy, composed by Jack Wall and Sam Hulick. Thanks, Elliot, for that pick. Yeah, I think he said this was used as a map screen when you're choosing maybe which different planets to go to. I haven't played this series, but man, that's a really beautiful atmospheric piece.
Yeah, I really kind of dig how it combines organic instruments with digital ones.
Right.
And I think having sort of a digital instrument really does sort of capture some of the connotations that that are shared with space, because I think a lot of times when we think of space, we think obviously of like aliens, we think of vastness,
mm-hmm.
but I think oftentimes we think of technology and things that could exist in the distant sort of future that we could create in our minds, you know, with robots and spaceships,
right.
and things that would be depicted in like Star Trek or Flash Gordon or Star Wars or something.
That's a good
like
point.
That.
Yeah. What's cool is I'm glad to hear that this piece was used so much in this whole trilogy, because just listening to it once, I don't have that nostalgic connection, but I really imagine after playing the game for hours and hearing this music as the map screen or whatever, can you imagine how much that must just affect you just on an emotional level as a gamer when you're hearing this music? This probably means a lot to fans of this trilogy, so I'm glad that we got to play it, because I don't think we've played a track from the Mass Effect series so far in the podcast. I think another composer that worked on that series was Richard Jacques.
Right.
Who, you know, we played tracks from his from the Saturn version of Sonic 3D Blast. He's a very successful modern video game composer. Awesome. We're going to move on to a track that was suggested a long time ago by Kyle. I think he was actually one of the people who first suggested a track to us on this podcast. This is from Donkey Kong 64. This is a track called Fungi Forest, composed by the one and only Grant Kirkhope. Let's take a listen. Thank you. Awesome. That's Fungi Forest from Donkey Kong 64, composed by Grant Kirkhope. I love all the sounds of those birds, those chirping sound effects, very forest-themed sound effects. But, man, this is such a vintage Grant Kirkhope-style piece, isn't it? It's just so many of the techniques that he used in this era from games like Banjo-Kazooie, a lot of those would be used in this. One of my favorite things that's so signature to his writing is that rolling timpani sample that he uses a lot in this era of N64, but very playful, very melodic, imaginative music.
Yeah, a lot of this music that he composed for the Nintendo 64, especially for the platformers like the Banjo-Kazooie games and this, they definitely have that sort of pops orchestra feel,
right,
where it's like orchestral but playing very sort of happy-go-lucky, fun, mm-hmm, upbeat music. And in general, I feel like he gets a lot of his influences from, like, John Williams and Danny Elfman.
Absolutely.
Really sort of nice 80s and 90s film score.
It was just, he was the right man for the job to make these the soundtracks to these massively selling games, you know. Say what you will about the actual game of Donkey Kong 64. I mean, the soundtrack is incredibly imaginative and is very entertaining, even if you're not having... Because when I played this game, I never had a very good time playing it. I was kind of bored. But I just remember the music was very entertaining. So he definitely did a great job on the music to this. We're going to move on to a track suggested by Phil. And this is from Shadow of the Colossus. This track is called The Farthest Land. This came out for the PlayStation 2. I believe it was a PlayStation 2 exclusive, if I'm not mistaken. It's considered to be one of the best on that system. This was composed by Ko Owatani. Let's take a listen to The Farthest Land. Nice Italian influence there, those mandolins. You're listening to The Farthest Land from the game Shadow of the Colossus for the PlayStation 2, composed by Ko Owatani. This is, if I'm not mistaken, one of the most well-loved tracks in the soundtrack, which happens to be one of the most well-loved games on the system. So, very, very popular stuff here, but yeah. Really, really pretty piece. There's not a whole lot that I really feel like I need to say about it. I feel like it's kind of...
It's very self-evident as far as what's really effective, mm-hmm, and it's doing a nice job of keeping the balance of sound. You know, I feel like in general, game music should be about, or even film music should sort of be about like 40% of the attention, and everything else should be about the rest 60, mm-hmm, which actually is a lot for game music, but I give music a lot of credit, but I think it sort of finds a nice blend into sort of like a cerebral sort of state where it's there, it's feeding you emotional information,
right,
and it just makes you feel more comfortable when there's music there, but it doesn't necessarily need to take your attention away.
That's a very good point, Will. Yeah, no, interesting, the playlist of today's episode, how many tracks are kind of like this, a lot of spacey, very soft pieces today. I had a feeling that this playlist would skew modern, which it definitely is, a lot of modern tracks, but it's interesting how so many of these tracks are of a similar type of emotional quality. There's not a lot of rocking stuff today.
I think Carl and I should take that as a recommendation to play more music like
more
this.
More of the stuff, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, this is definitely not the type of song that we would inherently naturally just think of playing on this podcast, so glad that you guys suggested some of these stuff. We're going to move on to another pick from Theo. This is from the game Rockman ZX, which came out for the Nintendo DS. This is a track called Area B, and it was composed by Inti Creates. Here we go, Area B. You're listening to Area B from the game Rockman ZX for the Nintendo DS, composed by Inti Creates. Pick from Theo. Yeah, no, this is a nice track. A little bit change of pace for this episode, a little bit more rocking. Pretty decent instruments on the DS. It's interesting, the DS is such a vast system as far as music goes. Sometimes people will really push the soundtracks, and a lot of times they'll maybe kind of, you know, phone it in. This is somewhere in the middle, I would say, as far as the sounds of the instruments.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that you'd hear in the Game Boy Advance, but just of a slightly higher fidelity.
Right, yeah.
No, I don't know when this game came out. It could have been in sort of that earlier stage of the DS.
I've never heard of this game. Similar to some of the other
I assume that it has to do with the Mega Man Zero franchise, which I think was a spinoff of the Mega Man X games, because ZX, and I think
ZX.
That looks like zero on the cover there.
ZX, interesting.
But yeah. I may be mistaken.
Interesting, yeah, no, it's a pretty good piece of music right there. We're going to move on to another pick from Carlos, and out of anyone, I think Carlos gave us the most tracks to choose from. It was actually really hard. Most of his tracks were really good, so it's unfortunate we couldn't play more, but maybe some of them will hold on for... if we ever do another, I'm sure we'll do another one of these listener show and tells in the future. This is from Etrian Odyssey 4, and I was really excited to see
great.
That because we've played music from the first three, and this was the series that Yuzo Koshiro composed for the DS, where he incorporated some PC-88 instruments mixed with modern rock instruments. Now, this fourth game came out for the 3DS, I believe, and he decided to completely abandon what he had done in the first three games. So this sounds nothing like the first three. It's a lot more, I guess, grown up, maybe a little bit more sophisticated. And once again, in the context of today's episode, this is another very chill song, but very, very pretty and jazzy. This is called Labyrinth 5, City of Radiant Ruin, composed by Yuzo Koshiro. Listening to Labyrinth 5, City of Radiant Ruin from Etrian Odyssey 4, composed by Yuzo Koshiro. Very nice, jazzy, slow jam there for you guys to enjoy. That bass line, man, that is tasty, isn't it?
Wow, that might be the first soprano sax I've ever heard in a video game.
Really?
Piece.
I feel like I heard one in a Sega Saturn soundtrack. It was like incredibly cheesy. This is actually pretty tasteful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the soprano sax is very sweet and soft, so if you're using it in this context, you know, that's good. There's a nice 70s influence in this track, kind of a disco, jazz, somewhat film score 70s kind of sound to this, isn't there?
Yeah, again, very diverse, the sort of blended variety of instruments and genres, which Yuzo Koshiro does so well, and he's really been doing since back on the PC-88. I think it's great, since old school video games, it was really easy to sort of blend those genres because all the instruments really sounded the same. They had that sort of digital quality to it. Now, when you transition to real instruments, you have to be very intentional about what you utilize because he obviously pulls inspiration from so many different places.
Yeah, like there's some Spanish influence with the tone and the melody of those trumpet instruments. They kind of have a little bit of a Spanish flair, almost something
like a mariachi.
Yeah, but the fact that it's also so funky, it kind of reminds me of like a Tarantino film, like someone would be in their car at the end of the movie driving after, you know, killing a bunch of people.
It's so funny that you mentioned Tarantino because I was actually just thinking about that. I thought it had like, for a different context, I thought it had sort of like a Western quality to it. It reminded me of like some of the music in Django Unchained that was like written for the movie.
I actually wasn't a fan of that music in that movie, but I am a fan of this song. So
I like some of the music. Some of the music that was written for the film.
Yeah, some of it was probably good. There definitely was some of it that I felt was very out of place in the movie. But I think I heard that Jamie Foxx actually kind of had a hand in picking some of the rap music. I don't think it was Tarantino's first idea.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was. He's kind of a quirky
he's a goofball,
individual.
Isn't he? But we love him so. All right, we're going to move on to the last track we're going to talk about today. This is a pick by Jeremy. This is a game, it's a modern game, I'm assuming something for like the PS2, I believe. It's called Atelier Iris 2, The Azoth of Destiny. Interesting title. This is a track called Empty Corridor, and it was composed by Ken Nakagawa and Daisuke Achiwa. Here's Empty Corridor. Thank you so much for joining us today for Listener Show and Tell. This was a really nice change of pace and just kind of a nice thank you to all of you fans for sticking with on the podcast and supporting us all this time. We really appreciate it.
We really hope that this was sort of a gift to you guys, just sort of a token of our extreme gratitude and appreciation for all of your support and feedback, really. Since the start, you know, a lot of these have been recommended, not just since we announced this episode. Some of these come from a long time ago, going through our Facebook and Twitter history and even some of our old emails.
And it was cool because a lot of these, there were a long time ago where I was like, oh, that's a really cool track. I'll keep that in mind. But for whatever reason, we never got around to play it. So I think one of the example of that was that Final Fantasy Tactics Advance track.
Right.
That was quite a long time ago, but it's nice we got to play that. And some really cool tracks from games that I've never heard of before, and obviously music that I've never heard of. So it was really enjoyable for us. We're really excited.
It's nice to let you guys take the reins a little bit and sort of steer the direction that the show goes every once in a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully this isn't the last time we'll do this.
Yeah, definitely. We're really excited about next week. The episode is another really kind of nice level-themed episode. It's Fire and Lava. It's going to be a really great, so much great stuff there.
That should be pretty fitting for how hot it gets this time of year.
Absolutely. Well, once again, thanks for listening. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Have a great summer, you guys.
Talk to you next week. Peace out. Out.